Hey, this is Steve. Once again, I recorded this past Sunday's message outside on my back porch with my iPad microphone. So the audio quality is not quite as good as you're used to. And sure, there's birds chirping in the background. You may even hear the wind blowing here and there. Listen, it's all just part of the thing. But this is really important because this podcast is all about making the gospel relevant to your life. That means discovering the good news of Jesus, no matter what you're going through today. We all want God's power in our lives. Who doesn't need more of God's power? But I know so many people that can't seem to tap into it. It's there. It's readily available for me and for you. Jesus promised it, yet it seems elusive to us sometimes. Why is that? Well, the truth is, Paul gives us a secret activation code for the power of God. There is an activator, and you have it. What can we do to actually activate the power of God in our lives, even in the midst of this COVID crisis? We're going to continue in our Romans series. So if you've got your Bibles, we're going to be in Romans 1, 16 and 17 again today. We've been in this same kind of general passage right here for 4 weeks. So this is our fourth week. So this is kind of a big deal. In Romans, Paul has just, he's wrapping up his introduction of who he is and what he's talking about to this church at Rome. He's telling them about the good news, that he is going to be using this letter to explain how good the good news really is. And he's really, really intentional to clear up any misconceptions that we might have about the gospel. You know, we like to kind of contextualize the gospel as helping us get to Christ, right? Helping us get to Jesus. You pray the prayer and you cry the tear, and that's going to get you to Jesus one glad morning when this life is over. You know, I'll fly away. And so the whole idea for a lot of people, a lot of Christians, about the gospel is that it gets me to Christ. But the good news is it's so much better than that. It's so much bigger than that. And that's what Paul is beginning to unveil to us right here in this book of Romans. He's saying to us that you weren't just created to get to Christ, but you were created to be like Christ. Yeah, you're not just intended to get there one day, but you're intended to actually become like him as he transforms you into his image. You were designed to reflect him. That's the way it goes from all the way back at the beginning, right? I mean, he makes Adam and Eve as his representatives here. You know, they are his ambassadors here. They're the ones that are to speak on his behalf to this world. It's what all humans are supposed to be, the image of God reflected into this world. But you know, it doesn't take very long, and all of a sudden, we break this, right? We break the whole thing because we choose to trust ourselves rather than trust God. We choose to think that we know better and want to set up a kingdom of our own. And so instead of being the image bearers of God, we choose to try to bear the image of ourselves. You know, we try to make this world about us, right? And so that's what we do, and we break everything. It all goes to pot really, really fast, right at the very, very beginning, because we no longer trust God. God had told us, listen, you can have everything here. You can have it all. It's all yours to use for my glory. There's only one thing you can't have, and it's that one tree. You can't have the tree. You can have everything else. Don't eat the fruit of that tree. That's mine. Everything else is yours. But we didn't trust him. He said, if you eat of that tree, you'll surely die. And we didn't trust him. We thought, no, God's holding back on us. He's holding out on us. And so there's something that he's keeping from us. So we chose to trust ourselves that we knew better. And when we chose to rebel against God, it broke everything. It ruined everything. Sin entered the world. Viruses entered the world. Death entered the world. Rebellion against God. And the judgment for our crimes began to fall upon us. We began to suffer the consequences of what we had done. We broke ourselves. And that image of God, while intended to be visible in you and me, it's really hard to see. It's broken. It doesn't work right. And we have broken relationships. We have broken promises, broken dreams, broken hopes, all because of that rebellion in the garden that you and I still take part in today when we trust ourselves instead of trusting God. That's why we don't live the lives that God really intended us to live. And there's only one way to change that. There's only one way to really begin to live the life that God wants you to live. And that's with this incredible act of faith. This act of faith of trusting Him instead of trusting yourself. You have to trust Him that Jesus took all the punishment for your crimes in His own body on the cross. You have to trust God that Jesus actually paid a sufficient price, that He died in your place, and that He took all of the wrath of God for your sin in His own body. You have to trust that that was good enough and that there's nothing you can do to pay it back on your own. You have to trust that that transaction, that one thing that happened, that event that took place, you have to trust that that was good enough. But you also have to trust Him with your life. You have to trust Him by putting your life in His hands, right? He says that I've got a much better life for you to live. Jesus' death was sufficient to pay the price for your sins, and His life after His resurrection is sufficient to give you the abundance that He intends for you. And so we have to have this faith. We have to put our life in His hands. It means that we actually have to, you know, trust Him, have faith in Him. It means we have to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow Him. That's the way this works. That's what the gospel does in us. Look at what Paul says about this in Romans 1:16. He says this, I'm not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Gentile. So the gospel is the power of God. If you want power to change your life, to save you from your brokenness into the abundant life that He wants for you, it's the gospel that is the power of God at work saving you. And he goes on, and here's what he says. He says, this good news, this gospel tells us how God makes us right. In other words, hey, believers, you ain't quite right. There's something missing. There's something broken about you. But it's this powerful good news. It's this powerful gospel through which God makes us right. This is accomplished. Look at this phrase. This is a fascinating phrase. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As the scriptures say, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. I think that phrase is fascinating. This powerful change that happens in your life is accomplished from start to finish by faith. From start to finish by faith. What Paul is trying to tell us here is that it is faith that activates the power of God. Faith activates the power of God. Your faith, my faith, it activates the power of God. God's power is the gospel at work in us. That means if you want to have power to change, power to overcome, power to kick the addiction, power to heal the relationship, power to return to the one design that God has for you, if you want that kind of power in your life, it means it works out through the gospel. It means that He convicts you of sin and you agree with Him in repenting of that sin. That means you respond to Him by saying, I agree, that's sin, that's brokenness, that's rebellion. I don't want that in my life anymore. So I will stop living my life that way. And instead, I will turn to You and I will live my life Your way. I will follow You. I will actually trust You. I will have faith in You and follow You. I will live my life Your way instead of my way. Faith activates the power of God, right? In Ephesians, Paul tells us, it says it's by grace that you've been saved through faith. And this faith is not even from you. It's not even of yourself. It's a gift from God. It's not the result of works so that no one may boast. He's really careful to be really clear here that even your faith is a gift of God. And you can't work. When I'm talking about repenting and taking steps to follow Him, it's not you earning your salvation. It's Him working His power in you. And that's what you started when you entered into this relationship with him. You began to take steps in this gospel relationship, and he began to powerfully change you, right? He began to change you. You're not the same as you were before, right? You're not the same thing. In other words, Jesus started something in you. You know, he started something in you. And the good news about this is that he might have started something, but he's not finished yet. You are a work in progress. Aren't you? I mean, aren't you a work in progress? Can you look at your life and can you see change? Can you see growth? Can you see that you aren't the same person that you were before you knew him? Are you seeing him constantly speak into your life, convict you of sin? Are you seeing yourself repent even more and more and turn away from that old life and turning to his new life? Are you moving towards a goal? I know a lot of people in my life who are Christians, in name at least, but there's no difference in them today than they were before they knew Christ. You know, they did walk some aisle. They did pray some prayer. They did cry some tear. Sure, they did all that. But there's been no change in their life. Jesus started something in them, it seemed like, but then they stopped growing. They stopped changing. They stopped becoming more and more like him. They're an unfinished work. Jesus started something, but they're unfinished. Do you ever have any unfinished projects in your life? I do. I've got a lot of them right around here in the house. I walk past them all the time, and I keep thinking, one day I'll get the time. You know, and you would think during this COVID time, this would be the time, but I feel like I'm just too busy to really focus in on it right now, so I don't, and I can't. I got a bunch of unfinished projects. Maybe we all know of one. If you live here in Gilmer County, you may be familiar with the unfinished project of the Highway 382 realignment, right? It's something that they've been working on for, I don't know, a couple of years now. And they were working on it pretty heavy up till November. And then right before Christmas, right before December, they stopped. They just stopped. And it didn't seem like they were working on it. I figured they'd start in January, but January came and went. February came and went. March came and went. And I didn't see any progress. Thankfully, I flew my drone over, and I saw that they have been working. But I really thought for a long time that they had not been working on this project at all, that it had become static, that it was just sitting there unfinished. And I was getting frustrated with it. I was looking at this unfinished project, and I was getting more and more frustrated. I was like, when are they ever going to do this again? When is anything going to happen? As far as I could tell from the ground level, all the equipment was gone and nobody was there working on it. It was an unfinished project. And I started to wonder, are they ever going to finish it? Now the economy is taking its turn, and the pandemic is here, and maybe they've just decided not to finish it. Maybe they've decided that they can't finish it. Maybe it's no longer funded. Maybe it's no longer authorized. Maybe it's just going to sit here unfinished for a long time. Bunch of government crazies. I wish they would just get on it and finish it, right? Right? Have you been that way? Because I have. See, here's the thing. An unfinished project causes you to doubt whoever is responsible for the project. Right? When you see a project lying there unfinished, you begin to doubt the person in charge. You begin to doubt that this is really even a thing. You lose interest. You get frustrated. You get tired. Is your life an unfinished project? Is your life just stopped and stagnated? Is your life just kind of on hold spiritually? Or are you able to see growth in your life? The gospel is the power of God to transform you from one level of glory to another, more and more into the image of God. And it's accomplished from start to finish by faith. So the way to get your life going again spiritually, the way to get your life spiritually growing in the direction that God wants it to grow again, is to exercise faith. Now, what do I mean by faith? What does that even mean anymore? It means trusting God, trust him, and live your life the way he's called you to live. Now, a lot of people confuse faith and belief. A lot of people don't understand the difference between belief and faith. You know, what I want to tell you is this, since the next blank, if you're following along, it's easy to believe, but it's hard to have faith. It's real easy to believe, but it's hard to have faith. What do I mean by that? You know, you can believe in God. You can believe in Jesus. You know, people say all the time, well, I believe in the Bible, or I believe prayer works. I believe that God is in control, right? There's theological beliefs that we have, these things that we say that we believe in, but there's a difference between having a belief and actually having faith. The book of Hebrews kind of illustrates this for us when it tells us that faith shows the reality of what we hope for. Faith is the evidence of things we cannot see. Isn't that interesting? Faith is the evidence of things we cannot see. Faith is different from belief. Belief is saying, well, I believe that God's word is real. But faith is when I say, I'm going to actually operate my life as if I believe that God is real. Belief is saying, well, I believe in Jesus, but faith is saying, Jesus said, take up my cross and follow him. So I'm actually going to, you know, do that. Faith is living your life as if what you believed was really true. So you say that you believe that God is in control, right? I mean, it's easy for us to say that. So belief says, well, God's in control, but I'm going to take charge when I need to. Whereas faith says, I'm looking right now at my coworker, you know, that coworker that's been trash talking you to the boss, you know, and saying bad things about you, telling you how you're irresponsible or lazy or don't deserve the credit for that project or don't deserve that raise. You know, that coworker is very insecure, and so they're trash talking you to the boss to drag you down to their level. Belief says, I believe in God and he's in control. But belief may tell you, inform you that while I believe God's in control, I need to take this situation in my own hands. My human nature takes over and says, well, I need to jump in there and I need to tell the boss the truth about that guy. Whereas faith says, hey, when I'm smacked on one cheek, I turn the other cheek. Faith says, I will be patient and I will wait upon the Lord to do what he wants to do. Faith is actually operating my life the way God says. That means that God wants to work in your life, and so I actually trust him and do what he has said he would do. He will do, I can only do the natural, he will do the supernatural. So having faith means I actually, you know, pray. Having faith means I actually read my Bible. Having faith means I actually hear what Jesus says and I give my money away, right? Faith is different from belief because belief is a set of things I ascribe to, but faith says, I will trust him and I'll do what may not even make any sense in the face of my circumstances. Belief can say, here's what I believe, but here's what I need. Whereas faith says, here's what I believe, so I will do what God says. Right? Belief and faith are two completely different things. And you know what? God works in your life when you have faith, when you step out on faith, when you actually take that stretching step of trusting him and do the unthinkable, you know, do the crazy. Don't rely on your own human nature and do what you think you ought to do, but instead actually live your life the way he wants you to live. So somebody near you, They're in desperate need of a car repair or food in their house, and so are you. But faith dictates that you actually give your money away for them instead of yourself, right? Faith tells you that, yeah, your spouse is maybe the worst spouse ever, and you really chose wrong, and you made a huge mistake in this. Belief may say, I need to take charge, and I need to do what's right for me. But faith says, I will become the person that my spouse needs, despite the way I feel. I will love even when I am not loved. Yeah, faith is hard. Faith is difficult. Belief is easy, but faith is really, really hard. But that's the way God works in your life. If you really want to trust him. Sorry, if you really want to know his abundant life, trust him. Actually operate your life the way he calls you to. That's why the book of Hebrews says, let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiated and perfects our faith. Everything else, Paul says, is worthless in Philippians when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I've discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I would gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. Yeah, it's that trusting him. It's by living my life his way, not just having a set of beliefs. Jesus didn't die so that you could have a set of beliefs. He died so that your life could be different, so that you could live the abundance that he promises for you. God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. If you want to be right with God, it's not just simply praying a prayer, but it's also operating your life the way he actually calls us to operate our lives. And when we do that, Jesus will not have only started something in us, but when we do that, I'm certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. He started something in you that he intends to finish. He is not going to leave it unfinished. He is actively wanting to continue and complete this work that he's doing in you. Are you submitting to him? Are you giving your life to him? Are you letting him do the things that he wants to do in your life so that you can become the person that he designed you to become?